from Bleeding Green Nation, Mr. Brandon Lee Gowton. Brandon, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
All right, I'm going to start you off with our poll question brought to you by Window Nation.
Oh, I sound like that, man.
Because he watched the same game we watched, and he saw how rigged the game was thanks to those officials. But, Brandon, we're talking about the officiating. We're talking about Carson Wentz, Sidney Jones. What was our other one that we have, our other option out there? Sidney Jones, Carson Wentz, the refs. Jake Elliott missing a point after. Brandon, why did they lose this game?
Well, there's a lot of reasons why they lost this game yesterday, but to me, I mean, I can't get over the first play of the game. I just couldn't. And in watching the game, after seeing a play where Malcolm Jenkins clearly knocks the ball out of Jordan Lewis's hands, and then Kamu Grugier-Hill, and what I feel like clearly recovers it, I mean, I see a video, I see pictures of it with him on the ground holding the ball in a pile of four Eagles players with no Cowboys players around, and then emerges from that pile to give the ball to the referee. I mean, the Eagles had that ball, and for some reason, they were not awarded that ball. And instead of the Eagles having the ball at the Cowboys' 18-yard line, where they probably would have at least had a field goal, very high chance, and maybe even a touchdown in a game that was must-win and really could have set the tone, you know, for an Eagles offense that really struggles to score in the first quarter, that would have been a huge deal. I couldn't not focus on that play after the Eagles didn't get the ball for pretty much like the rest of the first half. Like, that's all I could think about.
Brandon, I think we're all with you. There are different points in the game where you would just think back to that play and go, what the hell? Like, that didn't really happen, did it? And not only did it happen, but it was explained in such a way that didn't make any sense because we all watched what the ref said they couldn't see. Mm-hmm. And then he goes over to Doug Peterson to try to explain it. Were you at all surprised that Doug just didn't go completely bonkers in that scenario?
That's a scenario for him to do that, exactly. And I mean, look, you know, Malcolm Jenkins knows he's getting fined for the comments he made after that game yesterday. You're not allowed to just rip the refs like that and get away with it from the league. But to me, I mean, I think he knew it was worth it because it was a ridiculous call. He called it terrible. He said the people in New York have to stay off the bottle. It was a crazy call. I mean, you're just, it's a basic fact. It's like saying like the sky is green. It's like, it's just not. Like, I don't know. It's not, there's no room for debate here. We're just debating facts, and once we're at that point, it's pretty sad.
Just to wrap up the refereeing questions here, because I definitely want to move on to some of the Eagles' problems, other than just the officiating. The Dallas Goedert offensive pass interference, also bogus?
That was also bogus. I mean, I think everyone saw that. Ultimately, I think it's a little less frustrating in the sense of the Eagles ultimately go on to score a touchdown on that drive, so not to say it makes the call any less wrong, but, you know, I think the impact certainly wasn't as bad as that opening play. But, I mean, it kind of just, you know, the frustration continues there. I mean, that's two huge plays in that game, which are really decided by the refs and not the players. And that's bad for the fans. I mean, you want to watch your teams go out and have the game be decided by them. You don't want to feel like you're getting screwed, especially on the first play from the jump where it kind of sets the tone for the whole game. So that's just really disappointing.
Brandon, what's more of a concern for you moving forward, Sidney Jones or Carson Wentz? And I say that because both are coming off injuries, both may be playing a little bit injured this year, but both are going to be needed by this team, it looks like. Who's the bigger concern for you?
I think it has to be Carson just in terms of the magnitude of the position. I think ultimately I'm not really panicking about Carson Wentz. He's, you know, today is obviously a year to the day of his ACL/LCL injury against the Rams. So he's just hitting that 1 year removed mark from that injury. I think you can, you know, go into this off season, kind of make some changes, maybe with the coaching staff offensively, and maybe upgrade some of your skill positions. And so I think there's certainly reason to believe that he can still be a special player. I mean, we saw what he was capable of in 2017. You give him a full off season to actually practice and work with his team in training camp, which he didn't, which, by the way, I remember Trey saying was a big concern heading into the season that, you know, Carson wasn't going to have all that time. So I think we're kind of seeing that. And I think ultimately he'll be okay, but I mean, if he's not, that's a huge problem. So I think that's ultimately the bigger concern. but I think there's reason to believe he can bounce back.
Now, would you allow him to finish out the season?
I would. Yeah. I think there's you know, value in still having him try to finish the season strong. I mean, maybe by week 17, I'm feeling a little different. Mm-hmm. I don't know, you know, because you don't want to risk him injury at the point where it's just meaningless. But I mean, for now, they're still technically alive, so I don't think you can pull him, you can bench him. I think you need to show that you still have that confidence in him. Mm-hmm. I don't think the message is to send that, you know, we don't really believe in you anymore. So it's still his job for now, for sure.
Speaking with Brandon Lee Gowden of Bleeding Green Nation, what about the secondary? Where do they go from here? It just seems like guys are dropping left and right. Sidney Jones, another hamstring issue last night. It just seems like they just can't get a break.
Yeah, I mean, they're just depleted. When you're down to Devontae Bosby, I mean, that's basically like their 11th cornerback option at this point. Like, what, you know, how really disappointed can you even be in this defense when you account for the situation? I mean, they give up 23 points in regulation. I mean, if you told me that going into the game yesterday, like if that's a deal I could sign up for, I would sign up for that deal. I think that's a pretty reasonable mark for this defense to give up when they're playing like these guys who are, not only are they playing backups, but they're playing backups who are hurt because they have to, because they don't really have another choice. And they forced a couple of turnovers. And I know they allowed a lot of yards, but I mean, overall, 23 points isn't really the worst thing for this defense with all the things they had going on. And you consider they played almost 100 snaps. I mean, that's crazy. That's like unheard of for them to be out on the field the entire game, basically, because the offense couldn't sustain drives, especially early. Like, I kind of give them a little bit of a pass in that sense when you consider all the circumstance in there. So, it's tough. I mean, you're missing Ronald Darby, you're missing Jalen Mills, you're missing, Rodney McLeod. That's three quarters of your secondary right there. And you're playing with backups and the guys are hurt. I mean, it's just, what can you really do?
Brandon, on the offensive side of the ball, Dallas Goedert, Golden Tate, Josh Adams, why is it so hard for them to include them in the offense, and whose fault is it?
I think it's hard because the coaching isn't great. I mean, it comes down to that. You know, Mike Rowe, a couple weeks ago, is up here at the podium saying it's challenging to incorporate them, or specifically Golden Tate, into the offense. And to me, that just says, you know, he's really not that great at his job, because if it was, I think it'd be easier. I mean, these are really, I mean, you look in the case of Goddard, anytime he's targeted, he's produced. He was super productive yesterday. He caught four of his five targets, 44 yards and a touchdown. Would have had even more if that offensive pass interference penalty wasn't called. So some of the decisions there were just really baffling. I mean, you had Wendell Smallwood, who hadn't even played, or he hadn't even received a single offensive touch in the last two games, in for a big red zone series early in the fourth quarter when the Eagles were down 9-6. Like, why is that happening? I don't get it. The personnel is confusing. I mean, I think ultimately it falls on Doug Peterson. It's his offense. He calls the plays. But I mean, you're not going to start by firing the head coach who just won the Super Bowl. I think you need to start with the coordinators, Mike Rowe, and I think that's the place to start and see if you can kind of upgrade there.
Looking at the offensive side of the ball, like Bob pointed out here, we've been talking about Josh Adams gets a 24-yard run on a 1st and 10 at the Eagles' 30-yard line. Biggest play of the game for the Eagles at that point, obviously, and then doesn't touch the ball to the third quarter. Can you attempt to make sense of that, Brandon?
I think they only had two carries in between there. I think one was to Corey Clement, who got hurt, obviously, and then Darren Sproles. But yeah, I mean, so he has three carries for 30 yards on the first drive. He feels good about that. You know, he's looking, he's really running well. I think he was breaking through some tackles. Mm-hmm. The way he cut back on that big run, which was really encouraging to see, even though the blocking wasn't there for him at first. So again, yeah, I mean, he's productive early in the game, and for some reason they feel the need to get away from him. And at one point you even put Wendell Smallwood in over him, which just, it makes no sense at all. I feel like definitely Adams didn't get enough touches. When you look at this one, he only finished with 7 in total.
Do you see any coaching changes being made?
I just can't at this point. I have a hard time believing they cannot make coaching changes in the sense of you know, not Doug, obviously, but I think at the coordinator level with Mike Grove, you look at the Eagles offense. I mean, they've scored 28 points this year in the first quarter. That's pathetic. It's the bottom of the league. There's clearly something wrong with how they're going into games. And I think that, you know, to some level, I think the players deserve blame too. Don't get me wrong. They're clearly not executing. But I don't think you can be worse than the league like that if you're having truly great coaching. So, the thing that really frustrates me with how the Eagles handled some of these internal promotions this offseason is that, you know, you think back to 2016 and there was all this hype and the Eagles made a big selling point that, look, you know, we brought in Doug Peterson, Frank Reich, John DeFilippo, all former quarterbacks, guys with great track records, guys who were probably the best or, you know, or have a lot of accomplishments or guys who are really respected around the league. And, you know, all of a sudden they lose two of those guys in one off season and there's really no big effort to replace them with necessarily the best candidates. So it was like, okay, those guys are gone. Now let's just automatically promote who we have in house. And I just think that's a little lazy, to be honest.
All right, Brandon, last one for you. I don't want to break any news, but Doug Peterson could be headed out. I don't know if you saw this or not, but there's some speculation he could be headed to Green Bay.
Well, where is this from?
It's from NFL reporter Brett Favre. Brett Favre did an interview with TMZ, and he was asked about the different candidates he would have take over for the fired Mike McCarthy. Here's what Brett Favre had to say.
Darrell Bevell, who Aaron knows well. Brian Daboll, who was at Alabama last year as offensive coordinator, was my quarterback coach for the Jets. And another that comes to mind is Doug Peterson. Now, you know, I don't know if they could, you know, get him from Philly or if he would even consider that. But there's another young guy who is very creative and has proven that he can win the big.
Brandon, your thoughts? that sums it up.
I definitely think the Eagles are not going to fire the first who won the Super Bowl 1 year after. I'm sure the Packers might have some interest in him, and I'm sure Brett Favre is obviously going to talk up his old buddy. And,
sure.
You know, that's the right thing to do as a good friend. But, yeah, I'll believe that when I see it.
Brandon Lee Gowton, Bleeding Green Nation. Always great talking to you, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, guys.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.